Okay, guys. Yeah, let's count it in. You ready? So, 1, 2, 3. We're on.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, no. Classic.
Another classic.
Another classic by the great
BL.
Oh, man. Share. Okay, so this is. This podcast is officially becoming the unofficial Daddy Lumba podcast.
Yes.
You can't get away from him.
but Sharon, why that song?
Honestly, I think just growing up, and I didn't really appreciate that song growing up until I became older, and just talks about how everything's really just because of God. And with my experiences, I know that maybe I wasn't supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. And there's a phrase that, you know, it's like, who God has blessed, he has blessed.
And, oh, man, curse. Yeah. Yes. Men say that.
And that's exactly, like, no matter what, like, Sharon's not going anywhere. Sharon's just going to keep leveling up and doing what she's meant to do. And,
may God give your haters long life.
So that they can see you prosper from the front and the back and behind.
And I love this song because it really sums up Lumba in one song, right? It has the feel good mm-hmm. song. It also has, you know, his gospel roots that he's always putting into every song.
Of course.
And it has his nasty.
Before the Jamai song.
Yeah, and it has that, right? Verse 2 is really all Jamai. Like,
yes, verse 2, yes.
And you're like, you're listening to it and you're like, oh man, he's going in. Yeah. So it's really a quintessential Lumba song, and I love that song. But I guess for anybody who doesn't know it, Sharon, what's the title of the song, and who's the artist? Just so we have that on record for those listening for the first time.
Men Say That by Daddy Lumba, the one and only Daddy Lumba.
Charles Kwesi Fosu, the greatest. Honestly, as we've said many times on this podcast, the greatest artist in Ghana.
History. Not just in Ghanaian history. Regardless of how much, you know, people want to debate, there really isn't a debate to be had. He's the single most recognizable name in Ghana. Anybody knows him, north, south, east, west, coast to coast. You know, you can hate if you'd like, but honestly, you're just not going to win that argument.
Yeah, I would not personally argue with that either.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name, as you know, is Salome Kwame Radio. I go by Sal.
My name is Samuel Akwesi Boateng, and I go by Sam. And welcome to our podcast, Doctor.
Or an Embarrassment, where we profile the life of the immigrant child in a diaspora.
This is essentially the immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. Mm-hmm. This season, we will be highlighting entrepreneurship and yes. the entrepreneur journey.
Absolutely. And in this episode, we'll be chatting with the one, the only, Sharon Serpo, Madame Laughstone, Akwaba.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure to be here. Thank you. It's great to see both of you transform your lives.
Of course. Hey, you always knew my potential. Man, don't come and tell stories. You knew.
I felt a small dig there. Transform I know, my life. We're some, you know, couple of boys.
What were we doing? Like, I mean, I don't think we're up to anything bad.
No, I definitely don't.
Not that I remember anyway.
No, I don't think so. I just felt like, and I spoke to Sam last week about this, I said, you know, I felt like maybe our parents thought that we were just at school wasting their money.
Right? Yeah, at times we were.
So I'm glad.
At times I felt like that, you know, like I've got to do something with myself. Like, I just, this is a lot of money. All right, so we're going to start with a lightning round. Serbo, where were you born?
Let's give it the rules before we get
into it. Oh, yes, of course. That's true. Hey, lay down the
ground. So this is lightning rounds. We're trying to get to know you, for, you know, for our listeners to get to know you. First thing that comes to mind. Okay. Say it. If you need to think about it, you can say pass. We'll get back to it at the end.
Yes.
We'll go quick. No explanations, but some points, if you need to clarify, you can, you know, clarify quick. But lightning round, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Some call it word association, but we're not psychoanalyzing you. All right. All right. First question. Where were you born?
Koforidua, Cope Town.
Yes.
Wow. And that's where your family, all your family's from in Ghana?
That's where most of my family's from. We're split between, so Koforidua is New Drabang and Drabang part, like old Drabang being part of like the Kumasi.
Oh, okay.
So we pretty much take over all the Drabang.
I serve life. At what age did you come abroad?
I was 10, like 9 and a half, 10. Yeah, 10.
First time going back to GH?
2006.
Wow. Okay.
And how old were you at that age?
I want to say I was in university.
Kasana Dosso. We need brand association. Yeah. Please ask and answer.
I can't remember. I was in university.
Okay. Yeah. You're in university. Okay. And favorite Ghanaian movie?
You know, there's one by Nanama McBrown. It's a Chi one, and I think the name is Shebra Sisafu or something. I don't know if it, like I that might not actually be the name.
Is it a 1 and 2?
Like 1, 2, 3, and 4 or 5.
What's
but
anything
with Nanama McBrown, I'm for it. I actually prefer all the Chi ones.
She's the best. Favorite Ghanaian song we've already heard, I think.
We just heard it. And yes. Anything by Lumba, you'll see me on the dance floor.
Favorite Ghanaian food?
Jollof rice. But unless the wache is prepared by somebody called Amelia, then I'm there.
Yo, listen. No one can make Hausa wache like Amelia.
Hey, there you go. So if it's not an Amelia, don't eat it.
There's just nothing like it.
Jollof rice.
All right, so outdooring or wedding?
Wedding.
Okay.
Wedding.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess your favorite food is jollof, but let me ask you, regular jollof or Amelia made wache?
Honestly, as long as there's meat on it, you will not offend me. If I leave my house and I don't eat meat, then it's like, why didn't I even bother leaving?
I thought you were vegan. I must be mistaken. Oh, yeah. Jollof or wache? You said that. Oh, multiple.
I can eat jollof. Yeah. That's because you can't screw up jollof, but you can screw up wache.
Malt or Fanta?
Oh, malt.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Fanta, okay. Come on.
We have diabetes.
You guys don't like sweet things.
Simple sugar. Simple.
Ground nut soup or light soup?
Oh, Ground nut soup all the way.
That's that. Listen, there's nothing like it. I don't know what sound I'm talking about light soup. I mean, come on.
There's no
light soup only goes with fufu. Katun kwan can go with everything. Anyway. Katun
kwan it's just creamy for no reason.
No, it's supposed to be creamy, so you can eat it with your rice.
Thank you.
You can just
about that.
Drink the soup by itself.
High life or Afrobeats?
Oh, definitely high life. I like Afrobeat, but I just feel like it's not, it can't compare. So high life all the way, any day, any time.
Adwa or Azonto?
Being that I am a Ghanaian royal, so I have to say that Adwa and Bikiti rather than, I don't know if my Azonto is really on point yet, so I'm going to continue to work on that.
So you're saying your Adwa is on point though?
Adwa might be on point, but we might need some pointers from people, but yeah.
Adwa and High Life Lover. KLM or Delta?
KLM, they brought me here as an unaccompanied minor.
Yes, thank you. Me too.
We stuck you with a little thing on your neck that's an unaccompanied minor.
So this one's going to be a little bit more than one word, but top three Ghanaian artists of all time.
Lumba, Sakodie, and Kudrenchi.
Kai. Oh. This woman knows what she's talking about. Eh?
Okay.
Go and look at my top three. Go and look at my top three. She knows what she's talking about. Okay, finally, doctor and embarrassment.
I straddle the line of I'm my ancestor's greatest dream. So I'm neither, I am a doctor, And I make the embarrassment look so fantastic that the parents actually forget it's an embarrassment.
Doctor and embarrassment.
As we all strive to be.
But yeah, no, honestly, I think it's great to have that professional degree, but we forget that that's all that is. It's that degree. The degree doesn't make your career. Mm-hmm. And we need our parents and young Kenyans to actually realize that you can have a doc, like an MD, and might not find a job, especially
in Canada. That's true. Or you might have an MD who doesn't know how to work a camera.
There you go. That's some competent doctors.
That's very true.
So I think it's good to have that professional degree, absolutely. And I think maybe we hope to change our parents' mindset, and even the young Ghanaians, that there's nothing wrong with the degree. There's nothing wrong with the professional degree. We need to stop encouraging. We need to stop those degrees that ends with the G's and the, you know, the geologies and the sociologies and the anthropologies. Oh.
And the political Scientology.
There you go. And encourage them for the professional degree, but not be married to that professional degree and see what they can use that.
What else is out there? Exactly. Absolutely. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as I introduced earlier, we're talking with Madam Sharon Serbour, but we don't know her official birth name because every Ghanaian has 15 names.
Oh, yeah.
So please, Madam Sharon, please tell us your full name.
Honestly, mine is very simple. It's just Nana Abna Pukia.
Mm-hmm. Sharon Anabna Pokia Serbo.
Yeah, okay. That's really it. I think at some point, like on my mom's side, so my dad is convinced that my name is Nana Abna Say after her mom, his mom. And then my mom's son is like, no, you're not, your name is Pokia. I'm like, okay. So we don't know which one it is. but yeah, it's Nana Abna Pokia.
So what name do you go by?
Sharon.
So you go by Sharon, and then I guess then that's to the outside. And what does your family call you?
And then at home, everybody calls me
Nana. Okay.
No one actually ever calls me Pukia, to be very
honest. Oh, okay. Oh, that would change. From now on, I'll be calling you that.
Everyone just calls me Nana. And it's funny because in our household, like most of my family, everyone has the Nana, like the prefix.
Right.
So my cousin was like, well, Obia did Nana Nana. It's why they are Akua Ufi Hasi.
Y'all need to adopt.
So I'm interested in your last name, Serbour. What's the roots?
Well, the Serbour family. So we are one family in the entire Ghanaian nation. So essentially, any Serbour is actually related.
So you can't marry them.
You can't marry a Serbour. So you can.
Like, when you can't. You can, but you can. You're really not supposed to. But so our family. So we come from the Oyoko clan.
Old Drebin.
So my family is actually the current ruling house for the Drebin stool, as well as the new Drebin stool.
Okay.
So both in new Drebin Kumasi and new Drebin Kuroja. So my uncle actually was just in stool. Which is a big thing. My dad's youngest brother. So, and then, yeah, again, essentially every single Serbour that you meet is either married, like is related through marriage or through blood. So we do encourage everybody to keep their last name hyphenated so that you don't end up marrying your cousin. Mm.
That's nice. You don't want to find out too late. That's a tough truth to take.
That's super interesting. So, big question that we ask all our guests. As a child, what was the first thing that came to mind that you wanted to be when you grew up? Like the first thing, the earliest thing you could remember, what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Honestly, I wanted to be a lawyer. Mm. I wanted to be a lawyer. My grandfather was a Supreme Court judge in Ghana. He was one of the first appointed Supreme Court judges in Ghana after Ghana got its independence. So I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't grow up in Ghana, but I knew who my grandfather was, and just what he had done, and also like Morningstar Preparatory in Ghana, in Accra, which also belongs to the family. So again, so I kind of knew who the family was. Even though I didn't grow up in Ghana, I knew who the family was. So I knew my grandpa was a judge. And I just wanted to be a lawyer. That's about it. At some point, I did contemplate being a tennis star.
Hey, then it's your contemporary. I don't know about anymore. If you can't play, you can't play. We're a contemplation.
So that was the thing. So I was running track in elementary school and then high school. And then I think it was like grade 10, I went and I tried out for tennis and then I made the team. They're like, oh, you have a really strong, powerful serve. Then they took me off the track team. They actually removed me off the track team. So I played tennis from grade 10, 11, and 12. Wow. And then I tried out for varsity at York. I made the varsity team at York. Then I realized that there were practices at 5 a.m. in the morning, and that was the thing. I also lived on campus at that time, so it was like 6 a.m. It was like something really ridiculous. I'm like, I don't live on campus. I can't get here, and I don't drive, but yeah, it was...
You said goodbye, Serena and Venus.
I was very inspired.
God bless you. But it's not for me.
You know, when you come from a Ghanaian household, like being an athlete is not... That's not a career.
Yeah, it's true. What did your parents think about you wanting to be a lawyer?
Oh, absolutely. I think they loved it. If you tell your any Ghanaian parents, yeah, I want to be a lawyer, they're like, oh, excellent, we hit the jackpot.
Yeah, that's true. That's
a doctor and engineer. They hit the
jackpot. One of the doctor careers. Yes.
Yeah. And were you overly vocal about being a lawyer at home? So like your parents knew, everybody knew you wanted to be a lawyer, or was that something you kept to yourself?
I think it was just something like, no, I talked about it, but it was nothing that I really harped on too much. I wasn't like, I'm going to be a lawyer when I grow up. But I think really in high school, again, grade 11, I took a lot of courses, and I just loved being like the legal aspect of those things, and I loved having a legal mind. That's what it is. And that's very important in where I am right now, because I love having a legal mind.
Maybe you can talk law, you know, off air.
Absolutely.
If I wasn't a physician, I'd definitely be a lawyer.
More per manson, both of you.
Hey, come on.
Honestly, even my 100-year-old grandmother likes per manson too. Like, my grandmother would go to court and represent herself. I think it was just something that I wanted to do. And I followed through with it again. And I think the legal degree or the legal education is a huge asset to have, because it teaches you discipline. And it's discipline that I've used in currently where I am.
Yeah, I figure, because if you're working and somebody, you know, does something, you have to think about what laws you can break in order not to hurt the person, right? So you don't want to do anything illegalities, you want to keep it in check. And the law is important, kind of important. When you think about also, like, there's a lot of different aspects of the law that people aren't aware of just how much it affects our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely.
So I guess back to the current now, right? So what's your current professional title? If somebody was to ask you, what do you do? Who are you? So
right now I run my own business. And I wear many hats. I would call myself, I guess I'm an executive director.
Big title.
Executive director of SNC Advisory. So I have a place, and as well as the executive director of Kids Cove Indoor Play Center. So I have an advisory company. We do mostly consulting on various things. So business development and any other things we can think about that you need. And then I also own a licensed child care center, which is the first in Ontario, that is Ghanaian owned, not a home daycare.
Oh, wow.
Center based.
It's big.
I'm very
a big deal. You didn't tell me to bring my children.
No discounts.
Did I say I want discount? I said I want to bring my children.
You can bring them. No discount.
If you are, then we talk about discount. I'm just saying that. I mean, we say a discount right now. Once the children are there, you want to dismiss. I imagine.
That's very true.
The online coupon is poke. Yeah.
Kids Cove is, I know there are, you know, our moms and our aunts have had the home daycares for us.
Yeah.
This is the first licensed
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a center-based facility.
Pretty cool.
About 10,000 square feet. It's a solid, like, just right off the highway. So again,
wow.
we run various programs. So we have the daycare, we have an indoor play center, as well as we have a home agency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, wow. This is pretty cool.
We just started to design. We rebranded with our logo. And our logo has now given us an array of ideas where we've actually now rebranded into manufacturing play materials. So,
oh, wow.
Montessori materials that are supposed to be launching in December.
Wow.
The learning materials are also part of that. So I'm super excited. So yeah, I would just call myself an executive director of SNCS Advisory. And that's the advisory side of just what I like to do. So business development, any other, we put you in touch with HR specialists, accounting specialists, and then the childcare facility.
Wow.
I don't even know where to start. What made you decide to pursue? I mean, I don't even know.
Honestly,
make you decide to pursue all these ventures.
Is it wrong if I say money? Okay, so here is the thing. When I started looking at law school, I got into an Ivy League.
Okay.
And getting into an Ivy League was a big deal. I applied and I didn't think I was going to get it, but I was like, let's just shoot our shot. And then I got in, and I was super excited. I shared with like the DeLavo girls. They saw, I didn't even show them, but they saw the acceptance letters, like the DeLavo girls. So DeLavo's like the street that we still live on when we were at York. So they saw the acceptance letters, like, why haven't you told us? And the reason I wasn't really spreading around because it was $70,000 a year for 3 years. And we didn't have that money for me to go and get something, like, you know, get that degree to pursue. So I took a year, I deferred, and then I took a year off. Then I worked for the Hudson State Company, their head office here in Brampton. And then Sam's dad, my uncle, actually got me another nighttime job because I wanted to save money. So I got a nighttime job at a pharmaceutical company, Plans, where he used to deliver for them. So I would just go in there after I finished my full-time job at the office to go in there just to package it. And I didn't drive at this time.
Oh my God.
You're hustling.
I remember just thinking.
Go on, hustler.
Well, it wasn't even that. I was just trying to save money, right? So, and I remember getting to the point where I was just like, so I had to give up on the Ivy League dream. And then I just went to another law school. And then that's fine. And, you know, okay, like, finished, took my exams and everything else. But I remember thinking, when I started law school, was like, I'm not going into law school to help the community, like, you know, be a legal aid advisor or whatever. I said, no, I want to work on Bay Street and I want to make money because I don't want to be in a position ever again where money stops me from doing that I need to do, or even for my kids. So became my goal, that money was not going to get in my way of me being able to get to somewhere, or my kids being able to get to somewhere.
Wow. Hey, in Tina, it is kind of bad. Is that what you're saying? Money day. Yeah. Problem.
And honestly, I've been very blessed because when I finished law school, like, the first job that I got was for CSX mining company. So it was publicly listed company on Bay Street. It was a smaller firm. My second week there, they put me on a plane and said, can you go to Spain and go and figure something out? And I was like, I just got here. Are you guys make sure you can have me after 6 months that you're second week? But one thing I loved about that company was that the CFO was a former mining lawyer. So my field practice was securities law and mostly just mining specifically. And I love the mining world. So that's part of the things I still consult.
Well, I'm safe, wannabe.
Pardon?
I'm safe.
I'm saying, you do the legal way. Honestly, so the CFO took me under her wing. The financial team took me under their wing, and I wanted to learn. I was sitting in board meetings even before I was 30 years old, and I was in board for 30. And I think they saw that I wanted to learn, but I wanted to learn not just about being a lawyer. I wanted to learn how money moved around Bay Streets. I wanted to learn how money moved. Period. People are afraid about money and people are afraid to talk about money. I'm not, like, you know, Maggie always jokes like, Sharon, you love money. Papa, I'm like, hey!
you know how the world works.
It was I wanted to know how much, and I wanted to understand how money moved.
Where did this drive to want to understand how money moved and get in those circles come from?
Being at that mining company, because they gave me the opportunity to sit in board meetings. They took me to like high level meetings that, had I been in another bigger firm, I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. Because let's be honest, and like most lawyers don't want to hear this, but most junior lawyers or junior associates, like most associates, unless you're a partner, you're just a paper pusher. You don't get to make decisions. They give you the work and then they go and represent the firm.
Listen, Doctor on Embarrassment does not sanction all these statements. Mr. Lemo, paper pushers, you're also important.
You're very important, but that's
you're not signing off on the paper pusher. Mr. Lemo, keep pushing paper.
We need everybody to do their part, but I think
I get what you're saying, though. I absolutely get it.
You don't get the opportunity to make decisions.
Yes. Yes.
You get the opportunity to make mistakes, but you don't get the opportunity to make decisions. And that was so hard because they were all behind me in learning. Like the controller at that time was like, and even the VP of finance will sit there and say, okay, we're going to hand you the like the quarterly management analysis. This is what you're going to be working on. And I don't know what this is, but that's basically how you get to know the operations of the company, how these companies make money and how they get investors to sign on. So I work closely with investor relations, internal audit, finance, legal. I got that whole thing just so I can actually understand how does money work in these circumstances? How do you get people to just hand you billions of dollars?
Wow.
Right.
So how did the transition go from, you know, learning and how money moves to a daycare center and, you know, these ventures you're doing?
So when I, like, mine is cyclical, so money goes up and down, whatever. So then I left and I went to another global firm, like, so I went to, like, private practice. And then while I was there, I think most of my friends would have started having kids. And I was just like, I think it would be great to have an indoor play center where parents can kind of like bring their kids and it's not like the bouncy castle with like all the balls and like ball pits, but a learning environment where they can still bring it. There'll be different activities for them to do. And my friends were starting to like have kids at that time. I was like, I think this would be a fantastic idea. So my mom being who she is, honestly, like my mom is amazing because I have to give her a shout out. She handed me money to go to law school so that I wouldn't come out in debt. She held off on finishing building her house, and I'm talking like $50,000
of
money so that I can go to law school.
I'm
not crying.
Okay, it's good to be people.
I'm already. My mom is like my mom is.
That's incredible. That's honestly amazing. Shout out to mom.
Shout out to mom. So again, when I started this venture, I was like, okay, I want to do this, and then I still had a job on Bay Street, so my mom was working there. So she's behind me. She's like, no problem. And my mom's literally like, no problem. Let's go figure this out. She's in the car with me. We're looking for leases, leaseholds. We're looking up for places, and we finally found a place we can rent. This is where I said I love having a legal mind. They handed me the lease. I negotiated the lease to like below market per dollar per square footage. Until now, where the landlord is like, how did you get this? Because everybody else pays like almost $7-$8 more than what you pay. And I'm like, I don't know.
I have my ways. I cannot disclose.
So we did all of that. We put our hard work in. We didn't have a lot of money because it's a new business. Banks are not willing to loan you money. And I'm still working. So we kind of rolled up our sleeves, we painted, we did all the things we need to do, and then we opened. So when we opened, my mom would actually go to the facility Monday to Friday, and then I would go to work. I had to continue working because I needed my salary to pay the lease for that space because we weren't making enough money yet. So like, you know, parents were slowly trickling in. We got some before and after school kids, and then a lot of parents were like, okay, so have you thought about a daycare? Do you guys have a daycare? Then we put like, oh, that's a good idea. Then I put in the license and procedure with the Ministry of Education. Then we basically constructed this. So we started with one unit, then we took over two additional units, which were like bare bones, nothing on the floor, And I had to build that from scratch. So we built the daycare from scratch. Wow. So it wasn't an existing daycare. It was everything was built, like floor plans, going there, being on site, and while still working downtown.
Wow.
And putting money all into this. So I think it started with I wanted a space where parents could come in and enjoy being in a facility where they got that education without having to worry that the kid was going to fall into a ball pit or a bouncy castle. And then it just pivoted beautifully into a licensed child care center, which became another aspect of that business. And the business just keeps scaling as the needs grows.
Wow.
I this doesn't happen often, but I'm speechless. I'm awed by your awesomeness. This is just incredible. I mean, honestly. But I didn't know you had to go to law school to open daycare. That deal.
Honestly, and that's exactly right. Like, well, and that's where you're going with, I love having a legal mind.
Yeah.
It's the discipline that it gave me to be able to say, well, I can go through that whole 70-page or 100-page regulation which governs having a license for childcare. Yeah. And I can know what's expected of me.
Right.
And I can then always, because really running this facility, because it's licensed, you always have to be compliant. So there's a legal aspect to it at all times.
Yeah.
So having that also helped. Being able to write contracts for employees, being able to negotiate leases, being able to negotiate with contractors, being able to just kind of like set up just the actual governing structure.
Right.
Company. Is all legal. So people don't use, people think that you're a lawyer and that's it. No, like there's, I met, and it's funny because when I was in England, I met a lawyer. Like, he finished law school at Queens and said, I never practiced a day. And he went straight into venture capital.
Wow.
And
I finished my article, got called, and then I put it to the side and he just started buying tech companies. He went right into the tech world, but he needed that mindset and that mind to be able to grow.
No, absolutely. I think this is a great example to, you know, the younger generation that it's not, as you mentioned before, it's not about the degree you get. It's what skills are you building and how can you transfer that into your ultimate goal that you want to get, right? Because I know a lot of people who might say they love children and they want to open a daycare and they might be going the ECE route. You know, where it might make sense for them to look at what's the bigger picture. Do you want to own your own facility and what other skills do you need to actually run and operate your own facility?
Yeah.
So you might then have to get like a business degree rather than.
Right.
Because you don't really need a BC degree to go and make it. I don't have
to. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I think this is sort of a microcosm of how our mindset as a people is, because we look to be employees. We don't look to be owners. We don't look to be entrepreneurs. We don't look at that angle.
Yeah.
Our first thought is go to school, get a degree, get a job, not go to own, not open your own, not expand. You know what I mean? So we don't look at that. This is why an ECE makes sense versus an MBA or a BA. Mm. You know what I mean? Like we don't look at that at all. So I think it starts with a mentality.
So Sharon, so this is what we call our flex zone. You've done a little humble bragging here and there, but we're going to give you, you know, just a couple, you know, a minute or so to give us your list of accomplishments, you know, what you've been able to achieve at this young age so far, everything that comes to mind, your quick highlight reel. If we were to say
Sports Center.
This is what Sharon has done, Sports Center, no holds bar. I know you're very humble, but please brag. If you don't brag, we'll brag for you. So
all right, you can brag for me. Okay, so let's see. The degrees are important. So I do have multiple degrees, like multiple high level degrees. Let's see. I own my own businesses, so not just one. I do own several businesses that are not just people say they own a business. These are operational businesses that pay taxes to the government of Canada. They have taxes to the government of Canada. I employ over 17 people.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So I employ over 17. And that's something that to me is a huge accomplishment to be able to say I contribute to the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's big.
Seven. I employ one person. That's just myself. I mean, that's very impressive.
I have my son who is like the best thing since sliced bread. Eli is a God gift. I own multiple homes.
Wow.
Multiple properties, all within Ontario, specifically all within GTA.
We're looking for one. This program does not hate Manitobans or property in Manitoba, if that's your thing.
No, we love you guys there. Multiple properties with the GTA. And again,
that's impressive.
I work when people's like when people are sleeping, I work. So I consult in, Denver as well as Australia. So I work with like two companies.
Wow.
Sometimes I can, as soon as I come home, I quickly lie down, I get on the phone. I'm like, okay, yeah, so what's happening? This is what's happening within your mining world. Okay, no problem. So again, on a high level, and I'm still young, I'm healthy, and God continues to open doors.
And gorgeous.
Oh, yes. Let's not forget that.
Yeah,
and gorgeous.
Yes. Absolutely.
A couple of things that you forgot to bring up. So can we have the list of what your degrees are? So, you know, so for the young ones to know, what are these, you know, degrees you have? What institutions you got them from as well?
Okay. So I have a BA in criminology and sociology from New York. I have an LLB, which is my law degree. And then I have a master's of law also from Queens. So an
hour from
Queens.
Shout out to Queens.
Oh wow. So you're not easy. And then you forgot to brag about that you were just on TV.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's funny.
You're on my mother's favorite channel, City Pulse. I swear.
I actually forgot about that. I'm actually with the advent of these $10 daycare childcare program that the government has introduced, I'm actually one of the directors of the Ontario Association of Independent Childcare Centers.
Wow.
So I've been making a lot of noise all over the place. So yeah, you probably would have seen me on TV recently, City TV, CBC, all the news radio show. And we have been able to secure an actual meeting with Stephen Lecce to be hopefully to come back and change this agreement. And this is where the legal mind comes in.
Wow. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two questions. Quick. Mm-hmm. When do you sleep and what do you do for fun?
Honestly,
very quickly. Because I don't know this busy schedule, when do you find time for sleep?
I can work on 3 to 4 hours of sleep.
Wow.
So sometimes I'll get to bed like at 12 to like 1, and then I'll wake up around 6, and then I'm off, and then I just do what I need to do. And then what I do for fun?
Yes.
I'm a single mom, so with Eli, I try to make sure that he's living his best life ever. I do all of this so that Eli can have whatever he wants, he's spoiled, but he's able to have doors of opportunity.
Okay, so he's spoiled. But you, what do you do for fun? You. Because we need to, if you don't, we have to make way.
You have to make way for me to have fun. I don't know. It's been COVID, so nobody's been having any fun during COVID.
Force you to have fun. We will force you. If you have to bring a soccer ball to your house and come and
there play. You go. So, I would say just going up for dinner and just hanging out with like-minded individuals, just hanging out with my friends, honestly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when was your last trip with your girls to Ghana?
From Maliki's wedding.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
And now that was it. And those girls and I, like, we're still very tight.
That's amazing.
That's good to see.
Amazing.
So that's also been one of the great things that came out of Sam Dad and the level. Shout out to your dad, Sam.
Yes.
So giving me my dream house during my undergraduate degrees. And honestly, that's also like he gave me a space where I can just learn and study and just be at peace.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. And I guess that's a good testament to the community and how the community at large can play a role in fostering somebody's, you know, education and their creative and their space to actually take on these ventures, right?
Excel. Absolutely.
What they do. So
Yes.
Shout out to all the old heads that are creating ways.
So quickly, tell us a little bit about, you know, some setbacks that you face in your careers or your business so far. I know it can't just be all smooth sailing.
Oh, no, but not at all. I've had, so like I said, mine is typical. So after I was at a mining company, I was let go because the mining industry wasn't doing too well. So I was let go. And then
I said, galamsey mo ya ebeche mo. We told you.
And honestly, that was hard because then I was the way, and I always remind people because law is one of those fields where you can like finish, set up your own practice and do like, you know, real estate, family or criminal. If you want to go into corporate, that's a whole different space where there's not a lot of seats available. And I recall, like, when I used to go to these securities law a year in review at Lakes, and I would be the only Black person there, and very young. And it was mostly, and mining, because it's mostly mining is full of old white men.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, it's just that old school feel. And
so you had three strikes. You were young, you were Black, you were a woman.
And and I would walk in and
it's difficult.
All eyes would be on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always wonder, like, they're probably wondering how I got here. that was a fair ask. So, like, after I left that, I was not working for a bit. And then PDAC is the largest mining conference in North America and happens in Toronto. So, I went with one of my former co-workers at that particular mining firm. To a firm's event that I wasn't even invited to. Mm. I walked in and I just said, my name is XYZ. They're like, you don't want to listen. I'm like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I thought I registered. And then there I ended up meeting the managing director of the Bank of New York.
Wow.
And he took me under his wing and like sat there. We would go through my resume together and he just started shopping my resume, and I ended up at that same firm's party that I wasn't invited to. And again, I know, so that like just being without a job and just trying to figure things out, that was hard. And then it just made me realize that. And then when I got into that firm, again, there was not a lot of Black people there, but it makes you realize that. And that's when I think I started to pivot more. I don't want to continue to work with people and continue to prove my worth.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, there's always going to be something that I'm not doing for them, or I'm not doing for them. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm doing everything that I believe is in my power, I'm not going to be doing something for them.
It's a what have you done for me lately mentality.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of just figured, because I think before I was like, oh, I'm going to be a partner by this age and that, like all of that was in there. And then I was just like, no, not here. It's
probably right. Not going to happen. Yeah.
But you could definitely do something for yourself. And then even with starting our own business, like I said, there were 6-7 months where I was paying the rent myself, paying a staff, aside from my mom, I wasn't paying my mom. And then even going through licensing takes people between 6 months to a year. I had paid all this money for construction, and the Ministry of Education, the program advisor that we were assigned to, just was not responding to my calls.
Oh.
It was basically like they refused to give me the license.
Oh, no. Why? Why do you think so?
I don't know, but I can say that in Peel region, there are two or three Black owners of licensed child care centers in Peel.
Wow. That's unacceptable.
Well,
that's unacceptable.
And you hear like a lot of errors. Like it took a while to the point where I had to write letters to my MPP and then have to go all the way to Stephen Lutcher's office. I have submitted everything and still not getting this license. So yeah, there's been a lot of like setbacks. Like, again, I've talked about like getting into your dream school and not being able to afford that dream school. That completely changed my perception. And like it broke me. Like
that's gut wrenching. My heart's broken. I mean, this is
that broke me.
A dream from a child.
Yeah, and I think to me it was just kind of like I never want to be in that space again. I never want to be in that position. So I have had a lot of setbacks, which is why I love that Boomba song that we played, because it really just defines like
everything. A time for boo. Said that.
They won't die. I want them to be here so they can see me.
Let them get a long life so they can witness.
They live long so they can see me from the front to my back and every side of me. But no, honestly, when I talk to people, like one of my friend's dad's like, you have a huge testimony, you should continue to share that. And I said,
yeah,
I
absolutely. Yeah.
And I do continue to encourage people, because somebody might just see everything right now as it is. Like, oh, she drives a nice car, she has a house and everything else. And again, I'm a single Black mom and all the strikes were against me. Yeah. All the strikes were, but it didn't happen that way. So being able to do all the things that I'm doing, it's really by God's grace, first of all. And then being able to do it for myself is a whole different thing. But I do try to encourage people to let them know that it's important, and it's imperative for you to know that you have something to offer. You need to understand what it is that you have to offer. No one's going to figure that out for you. Getting your degree is one thing. I love when our young people are going to like social work, but social work doesn't mean I have to continuously work for a CAS. Right.
Yeah.
There are good social workers that are branching off and opening their own practices. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing that.
Absolutely doable. Yeah. Yeah. This reminds me of the Notorious B.I.G. when Diddy signed him. Before Diddy signed him, he asked him, if you were dropped in the jungle with nothing, no tools, would you be able to survive? And he said, I don't know nothing about survival, but if you came, I'd have those monkeys dancing. That's just to say.
And that's it. That's just
tools. Own it on your skill. That's the skill you've got.
Absolutely.
That's what you just do the best.
And I find people don't do that enough. Like, often enough, we're waiting for people to tell us or to help us figure out. We're waiting for that next promotion. And then that next promotion doesn't come and you're disappointed because you got bypassed.
Right.
And you're wondering why that. Like, no, that's not up to somebody to promote you. I mean, it is, but really promote yourself.
Make your own rules. Absolutely.
No, absolutely. No, and I think we don't say this enough. Like how proud we are, and for me, how proud I am of you in terms of kind of where you've come from and kind of where you are right now, where you're going. And in line with that, like, what is the feeling of your parents right now? Like, especially your mom. Like, I know your mom personally.
I think my mom
What is that feeling?
Sam, obey Evan Abison.
No, I'm not.
Okay, tell it.
I know, like, my mom is very proud of me. And my mom's like my biggest supporter. So again, like, and part of, I didn't say like part of me not being able to, I didn't even say this, part of me not being able to get the funds to go to law school, she went out of her way and was like, I remember like this clearly, like she was like, for the Ivy school, she was like, she went to the church that I used to actually go to go and see if they would be able to help me financially. Oh, wow. So as much like, as broken as I was, she was also very broken, because it was also something for her. Like, she's like, oh, your daughter feels like your child feels that. It's like, I think my mom left out.
Listen, there's nothing worse for a parent
than
a child to need something.
And you can't get it.
You not to be in a position to provide it. As bad as for you it was, for her, she probably felt 10 times worse.
Absolutely. So I try to remind
her. I can't even imagine.
I try to remind her every day how proud I am of her. And I think I remind her how proud I am of her. Rather than just her telling me how proud she is of me, because I know my mom's proud of me. And I don't need to hear that, but I remind her every single day. I tell her, like, we're very proud of you.
Yeah. And that's amazing to hear.
You raised two incredible daughters.
Yeah, and I think often we expect parents to be proud of us, but we don't tell them enough just how much we appreciate what they've done and how proud we are of them, because we're in a foreign land, really. We're
absolutely
very little tools.
And they've sacrificed so much for us to be able to live our dreams. So as much as we've conquered and done so much, it's more of what they gave up to make sure that we were in the position to succeed.
Absolutely.
And I think like most of your parents or most of our parents had that. I'm coming to Abuja for 1 year. I'm coming right. to just
I know. Little did they know.
Go back home, build my small house and open my shop.
Absolutely.
30 years later, they're still here. 1 year later, 50, they're still here. Yeah. With the house built, but nobody's living in.
Absolutely, right?
But they're happy to be here because they see how much of a benefit this country has been for their kids and their
parents. Yeah, yeah.
So I definitely appreciate everything that I've been through to get here. And I never, and I think like usually, like I do like 7 years. I do like to, usually when people ask what you do, I'm like, oh, and I just downplay things because I just don't really feel it. And that's also one of the reasons I'm not on social media. I just don't put myself out there because I don't want
to. I've been wondering where you've been. I've been wondering where you've been. Like, okay, Macy, kind of, but you don't know us. Okay. Hey.
Even with this podcast, I felt like I've just been dodging Sam.
Oh, she's been dodging me for ages.
This is a therapeutic space, okay? No judgment space. A therapeutic. Every time you come,
you
give your knowledge and you have fun and you heal and you move forward.
And also, I think it's important for the younger ones to see us.
Absolutely.
And know that, you know, they're what they're working and what they're struggling through in school right now, that they might be in first or second year, like we were fooling around, feeling like we've done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
But there is something at the end that you can actually, you know, if you hone in on your skills and make, you know, excellence out of it, there is actually something that you can actually achieve. So,
But I also make sure you have fun. Because I was on top of the speakers at Pub Night, at the
Underground. Absolutely.
And I was.
Listen, there. We won't be telling those stories about Mr. Wah. This is an FBG show.
We have to save that for part two.
But we want to make sure that they also understand that you don't live your young life with all that regrets because you make those decisions wisely.
Yes.
You seek counsel.
We
don't talk about that enough. Like where it's okay to seek counsel, whether it's another peer.
Yeah.
Within the same space. A teacher, a parent. I think even with like the young generation of parents, where we always say we want to change the cycle of like parenting, where we want to open that door where our kids can come to us freely without them
being
fearful and judgment. Mm-hmm. We want our kids to be able to partner with us. So I can advocate for them. Without feeling like, you know, I'm going to judge them or tell them that, no, that's not what I want you to do. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm 110% with you on that. We've got what we call the perfection equation. Okay. And this is when passion meets purpose and you experience pleasure in terms of career life. So would you say that you're there?
I definitely think I'm there and I'm still going to continue to be there. I don't feel like I've hit my plateau yet. There's so much more that I can do because my mind is always spinning.
Yeah. I'll tell you your diagnosis once we get off the air. Don't worry.
Okay, sounds good.
Diagnosis, be mouth.
Honestly, during the pandemic, childcare centers were all like everything had to close, right? So the daycare closed, and then because it was a public health emergency, and then we came back. But when we came back, as I was home during the pandemic, I was like, okay, well, what's going to happen? Well, like when we come back, are people going to feel comfortable? Because we just kept thinking it was a 2 week thing that turned into
5 6.
Yeah. And then, like, we came back almost like July.
Yeah.
Because, well, childcare was allowed to open in July because they realized it was an essential service. Because your doctor's going to go to work to save lives. So we were part of the frontline team. Now, when we came back, there were still parents that were like, no, we're afraid of the facility, not because COVID's out there. And then immediately, me being the person that I am, I'm going, how can I make more money with you still being at home? How can I make money off you? So we created the agency. So the agency was birthed during the pandemic. So I was like, well, what I can do is just send ECEs to your house.
Wow.
If you don't want to come to the center, I'll bring the center to you.
Bring it to you. Wow.
We created a
curriculum. Brilliant.
can just bring the daycare. So they bring the exact daycare person to the house.
Wow.
That's amazing. I think I found a life manager.
Oh, I already have three business ideas that I'm already pitching.
Just from listening, right?
I'm already pitching her.
And that's how like my mind works. Like I was saying, again, we change, and when you get the opportunity, like look at Kids Cove. Our logo is literally just the K and the K, and it is four triangular blocks.
Yeah.
And I have a team that I work with, like a branding team, and out of that, I'm just like, I love the logo. Can we do stuff with this logo?
Yeah. Are you guys creating kid content, like educational content for kids?
That's next on the list.
Okay. So this is going to be out in the universe, but we'll chat more offline. I want you to seriously consider doing a tree language curriculum for kids, because especially for me, I'm struggling making sure that my kids are actually learning tree. And right. So, and then, you know, I could use some professionals to put it together. So
we can definitely talk about everything that I do and that I haven't even started delve into in my head. I don't work with a vision board. My vision board is inside my head, because if I put it down and it doesn't get executed, then I'm just going to frustrate myself. So if it's if it gets on a vision board, it's no longer a vision.
I love that concept.
When it comes out of my head and it's on a board, that means I'm ready.
The vision is revealed.
It's revealed. That's
the Holy Ghost has revealed itself. No turning back.
But no, definitely. So I think for me, I feel like there's still a place where I'm still passionate and I still have the purpose, and I can continue to find a lot of purpose. And what I find that why I'm happy in this space is because everything that I'm doing is a service space. It's in me. Right? Yeah. I'm never going to tell lawyers that we don't need lawyers, but but there is something about just being able to offer a market service that you just can't, that is actually needed by the general public. That to me makes so much, it gives me purpose, and it really does give me peace being able to do that.
So I guess in terms of, for advice for the next generation, how would an immigrant kid, right, or a child get where you are right now? So in terms of, the profession that you're in and kind of the multiple businesses, what would be some of the things that they should keep in mind to get where you are right now, or practically, how do they get started?
Your education is important. Please remember. We don't want any dropouts. We're not all Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg. The Mark Zuckerberg and the Bill Gates thing doesn't work for everybody. But be very conscious about what degree you're choosing. Does that degree serve a long-term purpose in where you want to be? And it's hard because sometimes, you're 17 years old, you don't know where you want to be. But I find you should know where you want to be. And that could just essentially be, I want to be comfortable. I want to be making $100,000 a year. I want to be making $200,000 a year. I want to live here, and I want that. Those are things that I think are basic and practical things that people need to be able to figure out before they're 18, 19, or 20 years old. So that when you are in any sort of education space or whatever it is that you're doing, you have those things on the back of your mind. I can be an artist and I can still have my own studio and do all of these things, but at the end of the day, am I going to get to this place, and what's my timeline of getting there? I encourage people to surround themselves with mentors, willing to mentor them and listen to them and allow them to make the mistakes and be able to be corrected in a way that doesn't put you down. And I've had that opportunity where I made mistakes and I was still invited on calls, and I make mistakes and they still invited me to meetings and things like that because they wanted me to learn, and they saw the drive that I wanted to learn. I availed myself to learn it.
Absolutely. And that's a part of why this podcast is so crucial, because I think a lot of times we didn't have that mentor to look up to, somebody to, the trailblazers that I think in some ways we've become. We never had that. And it is so crucial to see people who look like you, speak like you, think like you, to be in the spaces where you'd like to be. That is such a powerful example. And then it gives you that, the belief, gives you the strength, gives you the vision that you can follow and actually become what you'd like to be. And that's so, so crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate you.
No, well, thank you very much. I appreciate what you're both doing because I think this is an important forum for our people, for our young people to be able to just kind of say, oh, okay, so I'm not going the wrong way. Or if I am, okay, so I can still switch things around.
Yeah.
But I definitely want like young Ghanaians who are not born here. And I honestly find that the ones that are not born here, our drive is different.
I think because you always think you can be sent back.
we have I think we have the privilege to be able to experience both worlds separately to understand what it's like to be without, to not have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And to see this, to come, you know, without the perspective of having lived here and taking for granted the opportunities that are available, to actually knowing and walking in Chalote to now Red Bottoms, we know the difference. We've seen what it's like. And so that drive, you can't, it's hard to teach a child when they're not in that environment, when they've not experienced what it's like to be without.
It's
just something in an innate human drive that cannot be taught. It's different. We hustle different because we know what the alternative is.
And I love that you said that because that's obviously been one of my mottos. Like you said, we hustle different. Since nobody plans to be a single mom, but because I am a single mom, when Eli was born, I hustled different.
Because
I didn't have the extra, I wasn't thinking, like, you know, like I just hustled different. And I just thought different initially. Like my mind just shifted completely differently to how to make sure that I have all the resources that I want and I need and set them up for like generational wealth.
Yes. We didn't even know what that means.
And that's something that
we know send me money, generational wealth.
Oh,
so what's next for you,
Madam? That's your generational wealth.
What can we expect next from you? I know you're probably going to be expanding to Brampton because I expect you to. Now that you've mentioned it, because I need to bring, you know, my son to your child care center. Misaga Kwanwa, but, you know, come to Brampton so we know. And have branches all over the GTA. Toronto.
Get out of the GTA, okay? The GTA is not everywhere. The GTA.
Stop bashing Manitoba.
Okay, please. Manitoba needs a center.
Honestly, I don't mind doing all of that. So right now, part of our, and I'm still in the development phase for franchising.
Okay.
But really, what's next? We want to like launch the learning materials. So we have two major products, which is the wooden block build set. Yeah. And then we have the matching card game. And again, like if you see it, I'm going to try and send out a prototype to you guys because you have kids. But I'm sorry, not the prototype, the material when we get it out. But like the wooden block, for instance, is just four triangular blocks, which is our logo. And it creates a dice game where you roll it and you just have the four blocks to build that shape.
Oh, wow.
So that's the shape incredible. Is the heart, the hat, the house, the crown, a fox. So there's six. And it packs very lightly, like very small, but a parent can just like take. And all of it is just a wooden block. But we revisioned the regular wooden block and the match game again. It's all comes from our logo. There's other products that we're thinking about that will kind of go into like hospitality again with the blocks for kids. And then franchising is something that I'm looking into. I want to make sure that the vision of Kids Co, even if I franchise, because people have asked several times, stays the same. Because I don't want to have it diluted. I can't clone myself. If I could, we would have had like 10,000 centers by now. But I can't clone myself. So I have to make sure that the vision stays the same and whoever's managing the other side is still able to do that. And provide that exceptional quality care. And it's very important.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've left us speechless. Like,
oh, no, I love it.
I was born talking, so this is not. It doesn't happen often.
Oh, yeah, so you can talk about, right? I love it.
Yeah, Shehuluku's talking. Minute one, you and I together probably could talk all night.
Well, honestly, like, you're in practice, so, like, I think we'll catch up for drinks or something. Or
please.
Yeah, because it's important. Again, like, I told Sam, like, I'm super proud of both of you guys. I am very proud of you guys.
Thank you.
And I, even with, like, you know, the GSA crew and all, like, you know, when I see
We have so many gems in there. Seriously, yeah, I think we've all gone out to do amazing things.
It's everybody's gone. Like, yeah. Does incredible. Your father know you're here, still dancing on the stage? Like, did you turn in that assignment, ma'am? Like, so again, whether doctor or embarrassment, I believe that you have to really realize that your parents have a goal for you. And their goal for you is for you not to struggle.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I definitely think like that. The Ghanaian profession of doctor, lawyer, engineer, and pharmacist.
Yeah.
It's still there. It's still very much there. And I think more so, it's just a bragging rights for the parents. But yeah. My son is a doctor. Like.
Ultimately, but you're the one to have to put on those shoes and go to work in the morning.
That's exactly it. So, yeah. And I think they are seeing more and more that their kids can be successful.
And doing different things. Absolutely.
So they might be softening up on that a little bit. Not too much. They still want that title. So, that's about it. But yeah, I think, like, from the podcast and from the people that you guys have interviewed, I've been happy to just see how well people are doing, like young people.
Yes.
Are doing. There's a lot more that are hiding in the pockets. Like, I'm hiding in the pockets. Like, your podcast is getting this put a shine on me, which I don't really care about, but like, I've just been hiding in the pockets. And
you've been waiting to speak, man. You're at home. You've been waiting to speak.
Honestly,
you've been dying inside.
I speak when I need to speak. And I've learned that I speak when I need to speak. And other than that, I mind my business and stay in my corner.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, Rassam, what's next? A phrase of the day.
Yeah, so what was the phrase of the day?
I think, in the beginning, we didn't mention the phrase of the day. But a phrase of the day today is Ufiti Prekon. That is to say, when you forcefully pull your teeth, you bleed. So I'll throw it to the two of you.
Well, that's
a chew on it.
No, that's deep. I think for me, the first thing that you know comes to mind is just not to rush the process, right? And I think talking to Sharon today, that's what I'm getting from it, right? The long journey of where she's been through setbacks, challenges, you know, triumphs. All of it could have been for naught if she rushed a process of saying, the Ivy League thing, I have to go by force, may have not worked out to where she is right now in terms of
absolutely
where she's going out to be. Yeah. So I think just understanding where you're at and allowing things to unfold while you're working through the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I have to agree. And I think it's like almost when you said that, forcing yourself and also forcing yourself to be in a place that you're not meant to be only gives you more just
heartache,
brokenness, forcing yourself to be. And a lot of us sometimes force ourselves to be in spaces that we're not supposed to be because we think that's what we're supposed to be. And it's okay to be there and then realize that this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And not completely giving up, but just sort of thinking, okay, if this isn't for me, then what is for me? So I can make the transition a little bit less hard, less softer, less harder and more softer for yourself. But really just realizing, sometimes it's not where you're supposed to be. So when you pull that, you pull and pull and tug and tug, you might end up in a place where you're not supposed to be.
Absolutely. You know, it's important for me that you trust the process. you know, that it's going to happen, and it may not happen the way you drew it up, but it's going to happen how it's supposed to happen. Yeah. But lay the foundation, continue to do the hard work, and you will get there. You know, sometimes when you want a gift or you want something so badly, and you're given that thing, you mentally may not be ready.
Absolutely.
You may not be ready to receive that gift, to receive, you know, whatever that opportunity is. You're not prepared. And so prepare yourself at all times for any opportunity should it come. But don't rush the process, as Sam said.
So I guess what did we learn about Sharon today? Doc, if you want to start, one or a couple of things you learned about Sharon. I learned so much.
I don't know why. I'm usually pretty good study of people. I never knew about her drive, her hustle. I never knew just how driven she was. I mean, she's fixed with an engine.
Okay.
At all times, that engine's on, which is incredible. Like, I'm so impressed and awed by that.
Thank you very much.
That's something I've always known about Sharon. Like, I think there's never been a business idea that Sharon didn't have, or an idea that somebody had around her that she wasn't able to maximize and say,
right,
let's do this rather. What I didn't know, like, there's so much things I didn't know about you, and it's even the little, so I didn't know you were a tennis star. Like,
right?
She doesn't brag enough. I didn't know you were a tennis star. I didn't even know you were
consulting
in mining. I've had a bunch of, so we'll talk offline. But yeah, I didn't know you were consulting. You were actively consulting in mining.
That's
good to know. You need to brag more, because I'm the type where I hear things in the wind. So now I'm going to be bringing you projects here and there.
Maybe our future goal is to buy a Boise gold mine.
Listen, I've had so many Galamseyers approach me, but I didn't know how to move.
But you have the legal mind to legalize them. That's what they need you to make their plight work.
It's so funny, but no, honestly, I think thank you guys for giving me this platform to speak. And again, I don't talk unless I'm being asked to speak, and usually I decline all speaking engagements, not because I don't want people to hear my story, but I just don't like a light shine on me. It's interesting because it's just I don't like a light shine on me, and I'm usually one of those people where I'm just like, I'm in the back, like, oh yeah, you can do. I cheer people on whilst I have my own 20,000 things going on the side. Like,
her behavior on the dance floor determined that was a lie.
But you know, it's interesting because I was like, I want all my friends to do well.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the only person in the group that does well. Right. I don't want to be like, I'm paying for your flight to go to wherever. Or like, so I surround myself with people that I know they're all doing well, and that way we cheer each other on
equally. Absolutely.
And the sometimes
everything,
it's just like what it is. Like, so I, like, again, within the circle of my friends, they're all doing well. I'm so impressed by every single one of them.
Yeah, mostly because nobody has to ask you for money. Anyway, everybody, you know, do your own thing, and I'll cheer you.
Except for me, I'm still asking.
I'm still asking.
So it does not matter.
Oh, that's so funny. But no, yeah, as long as you don't have to ask me for money, but yeah, I cheer them on from everybody. Maggie, F450, like Maliki, like, I'm so impressed by every single one of what they're doing. And sometimes they feel like they're not doing anything, but I'm like, I'm so happy because it's good for me to see, even if they're not there yet, they haven't given up.
They're moving, absolutely. They're moving.
So that makes me happy also.
But we need to celebrate you more and more, and I think we need to be more vocal about it. So, that's what we'll be doing more. So
I want to be named after me then.
that's coming. Eh? Don't worry. When we buy our Boise gold mines,
we'll do it. We'll do it.
So here's our mic drop moment. We're gonna ask you if you met 17-year-old Sharon, what is one piece of advice you would give her right now from everything you've learned, everything you've been through?
Remember, we saw you.
We
saw you.
I guess it's on camera, so I'll say it off.
Gosh.
My first thing that I would say, I can't say it on camera, But I guess the next thing I would say to the 17-year-old Sharon is just don't give in. Don't give up. Mm. Don't give in. Don't give in, because I think, I don't know, at some point, and giving in is different than giving up.
Yeah.
You succumb to people's expectations of you.
Mm.
And it makes people miserable. Lots of people hate their jobs. Lots of people hate where they are. Even if they have great jobs, it's because they succumb to people's expectations of who they are supposed to be. So yeah, don't give in. But I think one of the also things is just to continue to just be polite. Like, I have my moments where I'm not the nicest person, but I do know how to exercise proper decorum when it calls for it. be composed when it calls for it. And really, right? And when you are in that space, yeah, don't give in. When you're in that space, don't give in.
Wow. Absolutely. It's so true. Completely agree with that. I mean, you couldn't have advised her any better. We'll wait for the secret one later. Rassam, let's shout out some people.
So first shout out, we want to thank you, Sharon, for sharing your story and for being a guest here, sharing your wisdom. We loved it. And we're going to welcome you back and back. I think there's so much more layers than, you know, doing an update of where you are. Cause I think what you're building, you don't even know is
right.
kind of a multi-million dollar company that's about to spawn some
great.
And we're going to have to check in a couple of years of all the ideas that you have.
Yes. So
we really appreciate your time and for being here as well.
Talking to us little people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You guys are big people.
We're not there. Also a big shout out to the Council for Advancing of African Canadians in Alberta. For supporting this season. And
shout out African Center.
Africa Center for helping us get the season underway and being a big supporter of Doctor and Embarrassment as well.
Shout out to King David and the camera.
Big producer, David. Shout outs. And to all our listeners, we really appreciate you.
Appreciate the love.
The love.
Tell your friends. Support. Tell their friends. Yes.
And as we said, this podcast is for you. We want to advance it so that you know that what you're doing is being seen, and then also what you're believing and what you want to do is achievable, because there's people that look like you, that think like you, that have been able to do it and overcome all the barriers as well.
All three of us are a testament to that. All three of us. An absolute testament. We're all knuckleheads, but we've got something.
I know sometimes I still am.
Today we are giving advice, so you can do it.
Absolutely.
And can I say something on camera?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
I love what you guys are doing, and I support what you guys are doing. So
thank you.
Put my money where it's meant to be.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to step up and offer some financial advice.
Advice.
Oh, I'll take the advice. Don't worry.
Kids Cove will, along with SMC Advisory, we pledge to also become partners, our sponsors. I'll let you know the amount off
camera. I'm near tears. Wait, panel. This is what I'm talking about. Bring the money, bring the checks.
We really appreciate this, and honestly we appreciate this. We love this, and this is what we want to see in our community, paying it back, right, in terms of once you've, you know, achieved and you've done well and become a big
you mobile. Bring us little people the check. Mommy Sharon say if you don't sign the big check now, I said you come inside the banana.
Big check.
A big one, zero baby. And cost more check.
You hold the big banner. But yeah, no, we appreciate you, and
God bless you.
I appreciate you guys, because it is a space where we need this. Young people need to feel like any decision that they make is validated by other people that have
experience,
including our parents. Our parents do want what's best for us. Yeah. So can't thank them enough. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a mentor for for Sankofa, which is an organization that looks to provide people, young people who want a certain career path with the people who are in that career path. And it's amazing the difference it makes when somebody talks to someone and just, you know, I'm trying to help people navigate and bypass all those landmines that they kind of get through. And if you get that in life, which is, I think, what we've lacked, because our parents have just been in survival mode.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't have that luxury to be able to have this space and this opportunity that we have. And so we had to do, had to be trailblazers. But at this point, I think we got to look back and be able to give to the next generation so they don't have to go through what we went through. Just make their path a little bit easier. Yeah. And then they can do it for the next generation. I think that's really, that's the most we can do.
Absolutely.
No, that's amazing. So thank you. It's been real, Sharon. We've appreciated the chat.
You're amazing.
Look forward to chatting again. So until next time, guys.
Bye-bye.
Is recording
done?
Recording should
still recording.
Still recording, but we're done.
David still wants to see my face.
Oh man, that was good, Sharon. Thank you. Oh, you,
no problem.
You surprised us.
No, I kind of meant, I have to talk to my accountant.